Hello everyone, welcome to This Must Be The Place. I'm your host, Imogen J. Lister. Today we have a guest that I've known for a little bit now, early in when I started going to shows in Toronto and doing shoots and trying to be involved in the Toronto music scene. Luton Head was one of the first bands that I shot, and every now and then I still kind of get comments on those photos, which is so funny that it just comes back around all the time. And it's brought me to a really good community in Toronto, and I'm so thankful for it. So thankful for Ben for letting me come out and take some pics of him like 2 or 3 years ago at this point. So like I said, this is our guest, Ben, here. I'll let him introduce himself. And how are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing good. Was that show 2 or 3 years ago, or was it like 5 or 6 years ago?
It could be. Was it that long? Maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Maybe, was it like 2019?
I think so.
That's insane. Okay, never mind.
I'm Ben. I play in a band. Well, I have my band, Gluten Head. We've been playing for a while now in Toronto. And I also do all sorts of other stuff. I've been really liking scoring for dance productions and theater. And scoring movies and stuff like that, too. I'm also working on a little hyperpop side project called Boy Stuff, which hopefully is going to be... There'll be something out soon. Mm-hmm. I've got a million little pieces of that. And yeah, that's me.
That's so exciting. Yeah, Gluenhead, to like describe it a little bit, is a bit of like an experimental, like kind of like large band project, I guess. Is that how you'd describe it?
Yeah, that's a good way. I mean, okay. I think the... With Gluenhead, it's a band, there's 6 of us, and I think early on we kind of found our stride in this sense that anything goes, you know, not restricting ourselves to any one kind of thing, mm-hmm. or one way of doing things. Making the songs and going where the songs call us to, and that kind of pans out in all sorts of interesting directions. Past 4 or 5 years, we've been working on like this big debut album that we finished, and we had a soft launch at a movie theater in Toronto here, just a kind of in-person thing.
At the Paradise, right?
Yeah, the Paradise. That was really great. And as far as plans for where that album goes now, who knows? But it is available online if you know where to look.
Would you want to share it with the podcast listeners?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Is it on a website called glutenhead.neocities.org? I think it's .org. It might be .com. Try both.
Yeah. Let us know if you finished the Sudoku game.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to freaking throw this on Spotify or whatever and just have it live mm-hmm. there in some company. And I don't know. So I just made this little website to where the album can live.
Yeah, it was such a fun experience because I feel like it was really just like a tight-knit community that like I'm very much on the outskirts of. So it was fun to like really witness all these people that came out and supported you and all the like collaborative art that went on for the project, and like see some people, like shout out Devlin, who I went to high school with. Yeah, it's like it was really cool vibe. And like, yeah, like I said, like a whole bunch of like collaboration went into making these visuals, and they all have like such a unique flavor to them and like such a unique style, and it really like emphasized the style of the album of just like being, and like you said, anything goes.
Yeah,
anything goes. Yeah,
yeah. So many people contributed in so many ways to that record. I feel really lucky to know so many talented people who are willing to kind of, I guess, give a piece of themselves to that vision.
Definitely.
Yeah, really proud of how that came out.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun. Yeah, I have yet to listen to the album in headphones, but I set myself a goal of listening to 200 albums this year and watching 100 movies.
Oh my god.
And I will say that checked off 2 of those, like both cool. in each column. So yeah, that was satisfying because I could put it on Letterboxd and I could like record it for the albums. And I was like, this is perfect. Anyways, okay. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's a great introduction to Gluenhead and who you guys are and group of people. And yeah, did you want to like go through the band and like shout them out? And
up to you. Like just who's in the band? Or
yeah.
Whatever? Yeah. So the band is composed of me. I do all sorts of little stuff. I guess when we play live, I usually play the guitar and sing and We've got another singer who's incredible. Her name's Kylie Patton. The way the band is developed, like, every one of these people is so integral. And everyone comes from such different backgrounds, musical backgrounds, artistic backgrounds, which I think lends to what makes it so, I guess, unique. So, like, Kylie has a musical theater background and, like, is an incredible operatic singer.
Definitely.
Our bassist, Zev Citron, is just a super talented musician all around and has perfect pitch and is just can listen to songs once and play anything. And he's got a really broad music taste, but he's really into kind of like psych rock. And our guitarist, Brandon Clare, is another, well, I'll just probably just say this for everybody, but he's just a really incredible guitar player. He went to music school and he plays in a whole bunch of bands and teaches guitar. And I think he also teaches piano too. And really, really great. Well, he's trained in jazz and stuff, but he's like super into bluegrass and country and like jam bands. And then we have our drummer, Zach. Just an amazing, super technical drummer, and he grew up like learning to play Tool and these kind of like really cool, complex metal. So his drumming is just amazing, and his ability, his control. And then Peter Scherzinger is our plays the keys, and he's really into jazz. And so all these different backgrounds kind of create the stew that is Glutenhead.
And I love it. And yeah, thank you for talking about it, because I feel like it's just such a, it's a really unique project and really cool. And I feel like I'm always so like proud to talk about like that I've been to these events and like had such a good time. So yeah, appreciate it and what you're adding to the scene.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into our first song, if you're down.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's do it. So Ben has decided we're going to listen to a Leonard Cohen song first, which I'm really excited about because I feel like Leonard Cohen is like the king of love songs. Like, I feel like that's the guy.
Yeah, he is. And funny enough, what I picked, which I think is his best love song, is maybe not often considered one of his love songs. I can explain.
Yeah.
Maybe once we listen to
once
it.
Once we listen? Okay, I'm down. This is Famous Blue Raincoat by Leonard Cohen.
Ugh. So good. And just that lilting melodic moment at the end is just such a pure expression and distillation of the feeling of this kind of pure and bittersweet and soft and jagged type of love that he's expressing through the whole thing. So I have two interpretations of this song. Maybe
okay.
We can go
yeah,
through
no,
it.
I'm super down to hear.
So, okay, the first one, like, here's a letter and we've got this love triangle. We've got Leonard, whoever Jane is, and then this person who the letter is addressed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously there's this, or not obviously, but there's some sort of past event happened. Maybe Leonard's dating Jane. Jane cheats on him with this other person, this guy, and causes all sorts of trouble. And this is years later where Leonard is maybe reflecting and saying, wait a second, like, I don't think you were wrong, or, you know, I forgive you. So this first verse, he's pensive, he's dancing around it. It's tough for him to swallow his pride to kind of say these things because he's holding on to his ego a little bit. He's having trouble, like, letting this out. I mean, as one would.
Definitely. Like you can feel the thought process in the sort of, like, humming and humming of the song, of the lyrics.
And then he's kind of saying, you're living for nothing now. I hope you're keeping some kind of record, like talking about his house and that he's building or his little life that he's having. And I think that's him kind of extending a little olive branch. I mean, like, I'm trying to say in my small kind of understated way that, like, I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
But as the song goes on, he's able to say more and more.
He kind of just needs to, like, get to that point of, like, opening the floodgates a little bit. Yeah.
And then this first chorus, like, Jane came by with a lock of your hair. She said you gave it to her that night that you planned to go clear. Like, he's just describing a situation there, but the way he sings it and the kind of the song shifts into a more brighter, warm, from the kind of really cold chord progression in the verse to this really warm feeling in the chorus. When he's singing this, it's kind of, the way he's expressing that chorus is not like, I resent this, but it's like, this is okay. you know. And then he's asking, did you ever go clear? It's like, it's again extending out, like, his hand.
Mm-hmm. To, like, clear it. Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, that, like, string and, like, in the chorus, there's such, like, a lightness that comes in that, like, really is not there at the beginning of the song. Yeah. Like, it's almost like while he's writing this letter, he's realizing this level of, like, forgiveness that's going on that, like, comes in through the emotions.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like he's not trying to. It's, like, it's just leaking out of him how he actually feels.
Yeah.
Later in this second verse, he says, you treated my woman to a flake of your life, and when she came back, she was nobody's wife. But he doesn't say that with resignation. And maybe at the time, it caused all sorts of problems, and he was mad, and he was jealous, and he was possessive. But now he's saying it with a lightness. And he's saying, like, I see you there with the rose in your teeth, like, the romance between you two. And he does have this little wink where he's saying, I see Jane's awake. Like, he's kind of like, I'm still with her.
Mm-hmm.
She sends her regards. Like, none of us have any hard feelings towards you, but also, I think this is maybe a little bit of his kind of, like, pride leaking in, where he's like, but I won.
By the way.
Just so you know. But then he kind of pulls it back completely for this, which is probably maybe the most raw moment, where he calls him my brother, my killer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's finally able to admit to, I mean, this other person, and maybe to himself, like, I'm glad you stood in my way. I'm glad. He's expressing maybe a type of love for Jane, maybe a type of love for this person too, that's not possessive, that's not restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, I'm glad you stood in my way, and then your enemy is sleeping, his woman's free, and thanks for the trouble you took from her eyes. Like, it's a type of love that is over past the boundary of jealousy and insecurity.
Mm.
And this other person gave him that gift by kind of challenging him, challenging those feelings.
Yeah.
Him and Jane, and maybe this other person too, are able to kind of get to a place where they feel like completely, or at least maybe not completely, but there's something beyond it. There's a type of love that is that accepts the other as they are.
Mm.
You know, you are as you are you, and I accept you. And he's kind of expressing this not just for Jane, but for this person. He's like, my brother, my killer. Like, you killed some version of me. I mean, and then he says, your enemy is sleeping, but I miss you, and I forgive you, and I'm glad you did it.
Yeah. What makes this song, like, so important to you? Like, I feel like when we were walking over here, I think you mentioned that you'd listened to the song for, like, a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what growth has it gone through with you?
I think, like, I mean, as with so many of Leonard Cohen's songs, which makes him so good, is that what this song has meant to me has evolved in so many ways. And it's almost in ways that are intangible and hard to track. Like, yeah. I think when I first heard it, which is completely lost to memory, you feel the complexity of emotion that he kind of has weaved into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, I feel like every time I listen to it, that I can kind of take a different track on those threads and feel all these different worlds that kind of fall out of it, these worlds of emotion and feeling and in relationships, not just with others, but with himself. And I mean, there's always like a kind of shard of the divine in his songs too. And I think it's most prevalent in this one, where he's not actually talking about anything particularly like spiritual in an explicit sense, but it feels holy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes from this pure and raw and honest, tender and bitter kind of love that feels like sacred, you know.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, I'm still curious to hear like where like this story goes in your head, like because, like, definitely, yeah, like, it's, like, a tale of, like, two lovers. I gotta ask, though, like, do you think that this is, or three lovers, sorry, do you, like, think that there's, like, truth in this? Do you think that this is a world that Leonard Cohen has just purely made up? Do you have any ideas?
I don't know. I know people love to do that, especially with Leonard Cohen. There's so much lore, and there's, like, oh, he wrote this about this person when he was in this situation, which is cool. I find that stuff especially with him, doesn't interest me as much because, I mean, the honesty is kind of written into it. Like, you can hear it, you can feel it, and the actual events that inspired it or what he's pulling from. I mean, one, I can't know, and two, I think don't fully matter.
Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, he's more a poet than anything, and that, like, writing is such, like, it doesn't need to be true in order for it to be impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it, this line here at the end of this last verse, before the final chorus, like, thanks for the trouble you took from her eyes. I thought it was there for good, so I never tried. It's like the thing he's really trying to get to, and that's, you know, I love this person, and whatever happened, even though it hurt me, it healed her, you know, it transformed her, and I accept that, and I love that, actually, and I had my reasons for not doing that, you know, I thought it was there for good, but I never tried, and so I'm glad you did. And that's something that is, you know, for most of us, like, it's hard to say, maybe to ourselves, to others, like, to not attempt to kind of constrain others, possess them.
To let people live.
Yeah, especially those we love, you know, especially when they affect us.
Yeah. And I think also, like, this, like, gray area of something not necessarily being good or bad, but just accepting it for what it is as well, I think, for me, comes out in this song a lot. Of just, like, you're allowed to have conflicting emotions about something, you know?
Yeah. I love the kind of, like, you said the gray area, the boundaries around relationships, like, the categories we put relationships in, you know, this is my partner, this is my friend, or my enemy, or he's kind of dissolving those, or he's expressing, like, how little, you know, actually real life relationships match them, and match those kind of categories that we put into things. Like, he's got this person, Jane, who he has love for, but then is not restraining or containing her, and then Jane has this whole relationship with this other person, and she's got a lock of his hair, but then also Leonard has this relationship with this other person, my brother, my killer, he's both and neither at the same time. Maybe there's even some, like, more depth to that there. Maybe that's what, you know, I guess that I miss you, I guess I forgive you, I'm glad you stood in my way. Like, there's a complexity to this relationship that's not summed up by any kind of label that you can give to it.
Like, we don't really know exactly who these characters are to each other.
Yeah And you can't pin it down, and I think there's, I mean, I guess it mirrors to me, it reflects, you know, how little actually we can pin down, you know, most of our relationships in our lives, and to try to is to limit them.
I love that. I love the, yeah, because I'm definitely somebody who's, like, really into, like, the fluidity of a relationship, and it's really important. Like, everything we're saying, where there's, like this gray area and everything's fluid, like, these fluid relationships and stuff, it's, like, important to know that the song doesn't necessarily just have one meaning then. So I'm excited to hear this other take.
Yeah, so, okay, here's my fan theory version, is Jane is actually Leonard, or a part of Leonard. And so this is, you know, can be read as kind of a queer story of, so Leonard's talking to, like, he's writing this letter to an old lover, another man, perhaps, and maybe this relationship was really complicated for him, and his sexuality and was confusing, and maybe it was early on or something, and so he's very pensive at first, and then so then it really changes how, what it means when he says, yes, and Jane came by with a lock of your hair, she said that you gave it to her the night. He's talking about a part of him. So, you know, this part of me was thinking of you lately, like, this part of me that maybe you unlocked, you let free, that I had been keeping constrained, that I couldn't let out.
felt like free to like be himself. I think also what's interesting about that is the use of like names, is that like whoever he's writing to is never named.
Yeah.
And then, but Jane and Leonard are both named, so it's almost like something that he feels free to like give like a character to, in a sense. I don't know, like some sort of relationship there, but keeping someone else like anonymous, and like they're kind of separate from this internalized part of himself.
And then this, like, it also changed, like, that night that you planned to go clear, did you ever go clear? I mean, a lot of people talk about this as like a Scientology thing, because I mean, a few of these real life people were into Scientology, whatever, at the time. But I think through this reading, perhaps going clear actually means like kind of accepting these parts of yourself, letting yourself explore them. Maybe actually Leonard and this other person never got to explore this feeling that they both had, this desire, this love, but they talked about, they wanted to, but they couldn't let themselves. And so that night that you planned to go clear, like you and Jane, like you and me, like, but we didn't. Did you ever, like, did you ever let yourself? And then it also changes, you know, you treated my woman to a flake of your life, and when she came back, she was nobody's wife. My woman, I mean, is him, right? And I guess he's using my woman to maybe express this other side of him that is maybe like constrained sexuality or desire that he won't allow.
Acknowledge this like romantic queer part of yourself.
Yeah.
I really like this theory. I feel like there's some warrant, like there is warrant to it, where it like he's a poet, and he's gonna want to like personifying these feelings is more important than like anything else. Are there any other last thoughts? I just don't want us to have to rush through the other songs.
Okay, that's all,
but yeah.
Well, I just think this, I see you there with the rose in your teeth. It's like, I've been dreaming about you. I've been thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
Jane's, definitely. It wakes Jane up in me, and she sends her regards. And yeah, I mean, there's more we could say about the end, but I guess you're saying we should probably move on.
I hate to cut you off, Ben.
No, no problem. I can go on forever.
And I respect that. I appreciate that so much. Like, it's so, it really is like a really beautiful story. And I think, yeah, like, especially this like conflict with like holiness in his music. And I think like an exploration of like the queer self is so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just say one more thing about that. If you ever come by here for Jane or for me, I think that's just tying back to what we were saying about this complexity of relationships. I think he's thinking like, if you ever want to see me, either as a lover or a friend, like for Jane or for me, like, I miss you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's a really good place to end off that conversation, because it's really sweet. We can talk about this more after the episode, because I'm curious, like, that's really, I want to get into like so many things, but we'll go into the next song, and then maybe we'll pull it back, and we'll like come back to like those feelings a little bit. Ben's chosen such a range to listen to, which I really appreciate. So for the next song, we're going to listen to Green Man by A.G. Cook. I gotta say, I listened to that song yesterday, like, just through like my speakers upstairs, but with headphones on, it goes crazy.
Yeah.
It goes so crazy. Tell me a bit about it. Like, what does the song mean to you? Like,
yeah, so it's a pretty new song. Like, came out in 2024. I've really loved A.G. Cook for a long time. And I guess to put it simply, when I first heard this song, I was on my bike, and I was going through a bunch of personal kind of transformations at the time, and it came on in that first verse, like, it's like super mumbly and you can't really make it out, and then that you just, it kind of drops out, and he says, just give me a reason, I'll dig deeper and deeper, and that guitar comes in, that distorted big dynamic guitar, dun, 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 and it just like expressed something so honest somehow to me. I've like burst into tears like when I first heard it, because it felt such a pure expression of I mean, this is why I picked this. If you go read into the lyrics, you might be like, it's a stretch to call it a love song. But that moment, I mean, it felt like such a pure expression of love. And that line, give me a reason, I'll dig deeper and deeper. It's an invitation, maybe, like saying, like, I'm ready, like, let me in, and I'll walk right in.
Yeah, I really, like, I can see, like, that moment of, like, clarity and how that could happen, especially, like, in the summer heat. Like, I can see the moment exactly. Did the song, like, kind of grow through the change with you then? Like, did it just stick with you, like, the whole time?
Yeah, and I think I listened to it probably, like, 6 times in a row immediately. Like, I got addicted to it.
I've been there. Yeah.
I think, like, what I was saying in the Leonard Cohen song, there's something also here where it's, like, this... It's this jagged and tender, you know, very sweet, but also very sharp kind of love. Like, you know, with even with that distorted guitar, and there's these kind of dissonant bends, and it feels, you know, in that kind of, there's a symmetry between the kind of harmony and dissonance of it, and it just feels so true. Like, it's not trying to lie to you. It's actually, like, getting to something. I mean, like it's saying, like, it's going deeper and deeper, and maybe it's a type of love that isn't kind of just, like, directed at one person or one thing, but and more even, it's, like, a type of love for the world, for, you know, yourself. Like, no mentor, no teacher could stop me learning your secret. It's kind of, he's actually framing it, like, you know, these kind of didactic things, these, like, explicit knowledge. Like, it's not about that stuff. It's like mentors, teachers, like, these are things that stop me from learning, but actually it's something that I'm just feeling.
It's more than that. It's so much more than that. Yeah, really, like, fluid song. And yeah, like, do you feel like you've, like, grown out of that, and does this song still have, like, the moment that you were going through, and do you feel like this song still has, like, the impact that it holds? Or
yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel like it kind of, in a way, like, places a stamp, like, on that time, like a lot of songs do for me, where it kind of folds time, like folding a piece of paper, bed sheets, and so, like, listening to this song creates, like, almost like a checkpoint or a marker, and folds me back into that moment. But it doesn't, like, I don't know, it doesn't transport me there. I'm not there, I'm still here, but I can... creates a sort of tunnel between now and then, and I can kind of connect with that.
I love that. That's the perfect way to describe how, like, a song can take you back. Yeah, it's like, and it's like you have, like, so much more empathy for that, like, younger version of yourself that is, like, you're, like, looking back on them, like, even though it's only, like, maybe less than a year, it's still, like, you're looking back and you're like, wow, you have so much more life to experience, and you don't even know it. We're gonna figure it out. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we move on to the last song?
Yeah, I don't think we have time for, I think there's probably a whole another conversation about the idea of Green Man and all the kind of occult and spiritual significance placed on that symbol, and but maybe another day.
Another day. Yeah, definitely. This is I Try by Macy Gray. Like I said, the biggest range of music. But I do love that this just happens to coincide with the fact that it's, like, almost like the most traditional song structure. And this is the most traditional kind of love song. Yeah. But it brings such, like, a levity to, like, this choice of music that I love it. Yeah, it's really fun. Like you said, like, you can't help but, like, smile and dance during it. Like, it's so groovy.
Yeah, it's the perfect pop song. I mean, even on a formal level, like, the vocal performance is incredible. The arrangement, the instrumentation, like, the way it's composed, that key change at the end is incredible. The bridge, the way it flows, is just, it's perfectly made. The melody is gorgeous. But I think, like, even in that, like, all of that aside, it expresses, this song is love as a force of nature. You know, as a natural disaster, like an onslaught. There's nothing I can do about it. I feel it's emotion as kind of an act of God, right? Something that I have no control of. I try to say goodbye and I choke. I try to walk away and I stumble. Like, there's nothing I can do about this feeling that's bursting out of me, and it's just coming.
It has to come out no matter what. Yeah. And the contrast of that with this, like, extremely happy tune, where it's like, you know, like we said, like, you can't help but smile, but it's also like this person's clearly going through quite like an emotional time, probably not in a good way.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something there, right? It's like love, this feeling is a glorious feeling, and maybe the context of my life, the kind of dynamics of whatever situation I'm in make me try to hold it in, try to constrain it, but that doesn't change the fact that this feeling is absolutely gorgeous and joyous.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also, this just feels oddly relevant, maybe not to my life, but to someone like a friend of mine's life, where there's somebody who maybe you've realized that the relationship isn't the best, but when you're together, there's, like, nothing better. Like, you're like, this is the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And that's a really difficult emotion to process. Because it's like, yeah, how do you get out what you need to
at
any point?
Yeah, and maybe it's both, right? Like, I try to walk away and I stumble. Maybe that's okay. You know, maybe it's okay to stumble, and maybe it still makes sense to walk away and we can accept what this feels like, you know, when we're together. I think also just in like a level in my life, like this song, this is like the most fun song ever to just kind of like sing with your friends, like belt out at a party. And like, it's, I have so many memories of this song playing and just feeling connected to the people around me. I think feeling exactly what Macy Gray is expressing here, and like the song is so well made that it's hard not to feel that. Like, I mean, like we were saying, like, it's hard not to smile, and that's because something's happening.
Yeah. I love how it's like come back to like community and like the love of like friends for you, because like definitely those memories of just like playing it full blast in like a car or like being at a party and belting a song all together is like so, that's an overwhelming level of joy, I feel. Yeah. And like love. Yeah. How has this song popped up for you? Like, where did you find it? And like, how has it like grown a little bit with you?
Well, obviously, like, this song is just kind of in the world. So I'm sure I heard it lots of times throughout my life. Mm-hmm. I think the first time it like struck me, I saw a band cover it when I was like, I don't know, 18 or 19. At a concert, I saw a band cover it, and I was kind of an awkward, kind of pensive teenager. I felt really, like, strange in my body. I felt weird dancing and stuff like that, or, like, moving, and something about this show, I feel like, unlocked something in me, and especially when this song came on, I think it was their encore, and I was dancing and I was with some friends and everyone was singing, and it just felt like it just felt free, like, and it felt communal. And yeah, I think there's something, maybe that is part of why this song holds such a special place to me. I think it hit me at a perfect moment, and it represented a sort of liberation in me. And then over the years, yeah, it just kind of stayed a part of my life in many different places I went and different friends and groups of friends, or it played such a role in all these different ways. And so I think because it's so universally appealing, I think it has that power to just like stick around and kind of maybe transform me in all these different moments of my life, but also be transformed by like the different experiences I'm having, the people I'm with, the different ways that I'm kind of like forming or relating to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think that's like such a perfect place to be, like to wrap this up, and also like reflect on like how like this is a song that kind of we've kind of gone through like different stages of your life with this music, and I think that's such a, like a great way of storytelling, and just so many different feelings and emotions and ways of like using music to process, which is really cool. And to have a song that's like so groovy to end us out is like so good, because everyone can go and have like a little dance now to to the song. Yeah, thank you so much, Ben. Thank you for doing this. I'm sorry I've had to rush you through a couple analyzations, but I'm glad I got to hear like the concept of them, because I feel like, yeah, I definitely learned a lot. And Leonard Cohen is an artist that I always kind of dip my toe into shyly, but I feel like the world is so great, I can never fully comprehend or appreciate it all. So I love hearing someone's like a fan's analysis for sure.
Yeah, actually, I'll just add, I mean, that's not uncommon with Leonard Cohen. That was me too. Like, I really loved him for a long time, but it felt like I was on the outside a little bit. And one day, I think this was like right when COVID started in March 2020, mm-hmm. a friend and I, my friend Leanna, we sat there for a full day and we decided we were going to listen to every single Leonard Cohen song, like starting at the beginning all the way through.
That's amazing.
And we just did that. We sat on the video chat and listened to them all. And after that day, I was like, all right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's,
now I know.
That's my homework for now. My friend Joe sent me a playlist of their favorite Leonard Cohen songs, starting from the ones that are most approachable, getting slowly less approachable. And so, that's also part of my homework is to listen through that. So thank you so much for talking about that. Are there any projects or anything that are going on that you're cooking up or...
Well, there's that Glutenhead album. Maybe that'll be released more widely at some point. Maybe it won't. But if you want to listen to it, it's glutenhead.neocities.org.
Mm-hmm. I'll add it to the newsletter with this podcast.
Okay.
So that if listeners want to give it a listen, it's there.
Also, the bassist in Glutenhead, Zev and I, we have a goofy side project called Don Blitzer, where we have this character, and it's kind of like 80s lo-fi music. They're jokey little songs. There's a bunch of stuff with Don Blitzer out, and we're working on new stuff. If you're just going to listen to one song, you should listen to Bubblegum Baby or Spooky Jacuzzi.
Incredible. Yeah. Those are so fun.
Yeah, and also I've got a new project coming out this summer called Boy Stuff.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I'm so hyped for Boy Stuff. The touch into hyperpop on the last Glutenhead album was so much fun. So I'm super hyped to listen. Again, thank you, Ben, for being here and being on This Must Be the Place. It's been a really fun time. Like I said, our earliest interview. So I'm like, still have my sleepy voice on a little bit. So, but we got there.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. I was happy to. So happy to. Thank you everyone for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review. We are wherever you find your podcasts. So be sure to leave a comment as well. Who would you like to hear on the podcast? Who would you like me to talk to? Who would you like to know what their favorite love songs are? You can stay up to date with new episodes on our Instagram at This Must Be the Place Pod. Find playlists for each episode there, and you can subscribe to our newsletter, where this week we'll be featuring the only online link to the most recent Glutenhead album that I'm super happy to have listened to in one theater. Anyways, subscribe to the newsletter. It's definitely the most convenient way to find all the information about the podcast. Lots of love. Thank you for listening, guys. And we'll chat soon. Bye.